Well, let's pray. Lord, may you open your word to us now, as always, and open our hearts to you. May we be the good soil. May your word fall upon us and produce a hundred crop, a hundredfold. In your name we pray, amen. Some of you will be able to relate to the story, some of you will not. A member of a diet club to which Hussein Ali belonged bemoaned her lack of willpower in you know, maintaining her diet. It seems she had made the favorite cake for her family a few days before, and they had eaten half of it. Then the next day, while they're all gone and she's there at the house by herself, you know how it goes, the cake began to beckon her. So she cut off a slice and ate it. And a little bit later, cut off another slice and ate it. And a little bit later, cut off another slice and ate it till the whole cake, whole half of the cake was gone. And as soon as she was done, she was disappointed with herself, and she knew her husband would be disappointed with her as well. One of the other members asked her, well, what did your husband say when he found out you ate half of the cake? She said, he never found out. I made another cake and ate half of that one. Problem solved, right? It's a humorous incident, but it serves to illustrate that we often disappoint ourselves and or others. We're often disappointed by life, by others. And it illustrates also sometimes to the extremes to which we will go to try to handle that disappointment. Most of the time, our disappointment isn't acute. We all are disappointed. You know, it's a common thing to man. Most of the time, no big deal, right? But every once in a while, our disappointments can weigh us down to such a degree, just like the stuff that we talked about last week, it can weigh us down to such a degree that we find it difficult to run the race that's set before us. So let's talk about disappointment. We are in Luke 6:35. We'll spend almost all of our time in that one verse and go to a few other verses beside, but Luke 6:35. This is what Jesus said in our text for today. But love your enemies and do good and lend, expecting nothing in return, and your reward will be great. And you will be sons of the Most High, for he is kind to the ungrateful and the evil. Now let me ask the obvious question. Why is it that we sometimes feel so disappointed? And of course, the short answer, obviously, is that we live in a fallen world. It's not perfect. Things don't always work out the way we want them to work out. What's behind that? Our hopes and our expectations. If we didn't have hope, if we didn't have expectations, we wouldn't be disappointed, right? So look at our text again. If we love our enemies as Jesus commanded us to do, we don't necessarily expect them to love us in return, do we? But we do tend to expect them to at least treat us civilly as we are treating them, right? We have expectations. In the same way, as a general rule, if we do good, we don't expect life to be a bed of roses, but we do tend to expect life to do us some good in return, right? Again, we have expectations. When we lend to someone, we typically expect them to pay us back, and so on. And again, sometimes this is when things don't work out the way we want them to, it can be very disappointing. Job said this in Job 30, 25 through 26. He said, did not I weep for him whose day was hard? Was not my soul grieved for the needy? I did good. I helped out. And then he goes on to say, but when I hoped for good, evil came. And when I waited for light, darkness came. Can't you hear his pain, his disappointment? It's almost as if he's saying, it's not fair. I did all this good and all this evil came upon me. And it's the same with our hope. When a high school boy is turned down by a girl whom he asked for prom, he's crushed. Why? Because he had hoped. He had hoped. Or, you know, you have your car and it breaks down and it can't be repaired. And you're disappointed. Why? Because you had hoped it could make one more year before you could trade it in and get a new one. Do you see how our disappointments are intimately connected to our hopes and expectations? And who can disappoint us the most? The ones we love. Because we have higher expectations of them, don't we? David said this in Psalm 55, and we don't know who he's talking about, but I think we can all relate. He said in Psalm 55, 12 through 13, "It is not an enemy who taunts me, then I could bear it." We expect things like that from our enemies. He said, "It's not an adversary who deals insolently with me, then I could hide from him." You know, if it's my enemy, well, whatever, I can escape. But then he says, "No, it's not them, but it is you, a man, my equal, my companion, my familiar friend." Do you feel his pain? Someone that was very close to him, very intimate to him, was the one who was talking trash about him. And it hurt. We live in a fallen world, and so we constantly have to deal with disappointment and the anger, hurt, and grief that goes with such disappointment. So how do we keep it from weighing us down? How do we keep disappointment from weighing us down? When I'm disappointed, I remind myself of four things. So let's look at our text again. When I am disappointed, one, I remind myself that most of our expectations are unrealistic. Most of our disappointments are the expectations behind them, most of them are unrealistic. So looking at our text, if we love our enemies as Jesus commanded us to do, again, we don't necessarily expect them to love us back, but we do kind of expect them to treat us civilly. Is that realistic? Some of our enemies or people that, you know, treat us poorly, when we love them and treat them civilly, some of them will respond in kind, some will not. That's life. That's the way it goes. In the same way, as a general rule, if we do good, we don't expect a bed of roses, but we kind of expect life to do good back to us, right? Is that realistic? God reigns on the just and the unjust, and he allows life storms to blow on both the just and the unjust. Life is not fair. Don't expect it to be. In the same way, if we lend to others, for the most part, we expect them to repay us. Is that realistic? Some will, some won't. Some people are very conscious about repaying others. Others are deadbeats. It's the way it is. It's life. We are naive to think that it is any way other than the way it is. So let me make this personal. We as Christians, nowadays we look at what's happening in our society and we shake our heads and we're disappointed with how people think and behave nowadays. Is it realistic to expect people who don't know the Lord and don't understand God's truth, is it realistic to expect them to think and behave like we who know the Lord and have his truth? Is it realistic for us to expect them to think and behave like we do? It's not. It's not. And sometimes people in the church disappoint us. We expect better from people in the church. Is it realistic for us to think that people in the church don't have feet of clay? We all do, don't we? Or when our loved ones disappoint us for the thousandth time, is it realistic for us to expect that they should be perfect like we are? More times than not, when we are disappointed in part because our expectation is unrealistic. So I remind myself of that. And then again, number two, I remind myself that as a Christian, I have surrendered all my rights, all my hopes, all my expectations to the Lord. I've surrendered them all to Him. That's what it means. He is the Lord. And so I surrender it all to Him. And so in one sense, I no longer have any right to expect anything from life, from God, other than that God will be God and do what He does, what He deems best for everyone in whatever situation I find myself in. That's really all I should expect from life. So again, looking at our text, when we love our enemies, we expect them to treat us civilly in return. What did Jesus say in our text? Expect nothing in return. When we do good, we kind of expect life to do some good to us in return. What did Jesus say? Expect nothing in return. When we lend money to someone else, we expect that person to repay us. What did Jesus say? Expect nothing in return. You get the picture? Why should I expect nothing in return? Because I have surrendered everything to Him. All my hopes, all my expectations, all my rights, everything. I have surrendered them to Him. And it's the same with hope. The high school boy hopes the high school girl will say yes. We hope when we apply for a job that we get it, and so on and so forth. Even Jesus hoped that He would not have to drink the cup of suffering when He was in Gethsemane. But what did Jesus say? Luke 22:42, He said, "Nevertheless, not my will, but your will be done." What should you and I expect or hope for? In one sense, nothing. Why? Because we have surrendered to Christ. Not my will, Lord, but Thy will be done. All my hopes, all my expectations, Lord, they're yours. Now forgive me, I'm probably going to step on a few toes, certainly going to step on some toes of people in our society. But what right do we human beings have to expect any good from the Lord or from life? What right do we have to expect any good at all? By God's standards, we are bad dogs and deserve to be punished. Period. And that life is filled with so many good things is a testimony to God and His mercy, not to what we should expect. All the good that is done to us, all the good that we enjoy, it's a testimony to God and His mercy, not to what we should expect. Do you get that? God, life, if you will, owes you and me absolutely nothing. Nothing. And the sooner we come to grips with that, the better. So if tomorrow God were to take my wife or children from me, what should I say? God, how dare you? God, you had no right to do that? Of course not. First of all, they're His. They're just on loan to me. And second of all, I have surrendered it all to the Lord. All of it. Would I grieve? You bet. Grieve like crazy. But I hope I would also say, not my will, but Thy will be done. Not my will, but Thy will be done. We've surrendered our rights, our hopes, our expectations, all to the Lord. They're His. And then three, I remind myself that God has called me to run my race and not sit around obsessing about how I feel. What did Jesus say in our text? He said, love your enemies, do good, lend. Just do it. He didn't say do it if you feel good. He didn't say do it if you don't feel disappointed. He said just do it. These are commands that we're told to do, period. no matter how we feel, as are all the commands in the Bible. Whether you are hurting or not, disappointed or not, Jesus said, do your job. Period. I read an article the other day about a 20-something girl who was crying, and I mean literally crying, because she thought working 40 hours a week was horrible. It was her first job, and working 40 hours a week left her little time to have any fun, and life was so unfair. And I thought, poor baby. By the same token, when I was a supervisor at 3M, and I am not exaggerating, I had more than one person in my office because the tape that was supposed to be on the right side of the machine was on the left side of the machine, and the previous employee had left it on the left side again. Take it from the left side, put it on the right side. It's not rocket science. When did we become a nation of babies? Honestly, when did we become a nation of babies? My dad worked for several decades on the swing shift at the paper mill. I've worked on a swing shift. If you have, you know, it stinks. It's tough. You're always tired. Then dad came home and worked on the farm. Those of you who are farmers know, farming is hard work. I never realized it as a kid, but dad must have always been tired over the course of several decades. Surely my dad had his hopes and dreams. Being always tired, I am sure, was not one of them. But in order to provide for his family, he pulled up his big white panties and went to work. I can't ever remember in those decades my dad ever talking about how he felt about all this. I can't even remember him ever saying, I'm so tired. He just did his job. He just did his job. People nowadays could learn a thing or two from my dad. And you and I need to remember that Jesus calls us to do our job, period, no matter how we feel. Whether we're disappointed, hurt, or lost, it doesn't matter. And interestingly enough, when we are disappointed, hurting, or weary, often the best therapy is what? To simply get to work for the Lord. To do our job. Often that's the best therapy of all. So number four, when I am disappointed, I remind myself that I run my race by faith. We all do. We run our race by faith. Look again at our text. What are we called to do? Our job. Love our enemies, do good, lend, and so on. And what are we to expect in return? Nothing. Nothing. Can we really do this? If we love our enemies, will they stab us in the back again when we're not looking? Don't we have to keep an eye out on them? If we do good, who will watch over our affairs? If we lend, will we get the money back? Who knows? When we run our race, we focus on doing what we are supposed to do and leave all the rest to God. That's where the faith comes in. If we love our enemies, as we're called to do, whether they stab us in the back or not, it's in God's hands. If we love our enemies and they do stab us in the back again, it's in God's hands. He'll deal with that. If we do good and trust God to watch over our affairs, He will. He'll take care of our affairs. If we lend and we don't get the money back, so what? God will provide. But it takes faith to do our part so that God can do His part. And we can do this because, in our text, why? Because we are sons of the Most High. We are His children, and He will take care of us. And so while we are taking care of His business, He'll take care of ours. And we know that He'll do this. Why? Again, because our text says He is kind, even to the ungrateful and the evil. If God is kind to the ungrateful and the evil, how will he deal with us? If he is kind to them, then surely he will be very kind to you and me, his children, especially as we seek to do his will. If he's kind to them, he's going to be very kind to us. We are his children, and we are trying to do what he has called us to do. And I think the neat part of this is that when we are focusing on taking care of his business and letting him take care of our business, he always does a much better job of taking care of our business than we ever could. And more times than not, we find healing along the way. If we're sitting there wallowing in our disappointment, our hurt, whatever the case might be, we often don't find healing very quickly. But if we're hurting and we go about our business, we often find healing along the way, often much quicker than we would have had if we were wallowing. And I wonder how many times God does not do his part, healing us along the way, because we are not willing to do our part first, be on our way. I don't know. I think probably more times than not. Now, don't get me wrong. I understand how devastating disappointment can be. Been there, done that. Proverbs 13:12, hope deferred makes the heart sick. There are times our heart just aches from disappointment. It hurts deeply. I get it. But if we are not careful, it can unduly weigh us down to the point where we are not running the race that we ought to run. So again, when I am disappointed, I remind myself that most of my expectations are unrealistic. And that besides that, all that, I have surrendered those expectations to the Lord. They're his. And then I remind myself that I have a race to run, period. I have a job to do, no matter what. Farmers, you know how it is. If you're a dairy farmer, I don't care how you feel. You get up, you got to milk the cows. Got a job to do. And you can feel horrible. You can feel like you don't want to work this job anymore, but the cows got to be milked, so you milk them. It's the same with you and me. We have a job to do. It doesn't matter how we feel. And then I remind myself we do it by faith. We do it, choose to do it, and we can do it because when we take care of his business, he'll take care of our business. And then what happens? When I remind myself of these things, I am wonderfully freed. It's amazing how quickly my disappointment evaporates. Excuse me. And what did the Apostle Paul tell us to do? He said in 2 Corinthians 10:5, take every thought captive to obey Christ. That's what we're really talking about. Reminding ourselves. Taking our thoughts captive. Telling ourselves what's the truth. And I try. Sometimes I have to remind myself a lot before I get off my behind and get back to running my race. Sometimes I have to remind myself a lot. But that's what we're called to do. Take our thoughts captive, to remind ourselves of what is the truth. So if you're disappointed this morning, if you're wallowing in disappointment, let it go. Give it to the Lord, be free, and run the race that's set before you. No matter how disappointed or hurt we are this morning, believe it or not, we're not the only one in the whole world who's disappointed or hurt or lost. There's work to be done. Let's do it. Let's do it. Lord, I thank you. You did not want to go to the cross. You hoped you could get out of it. Who in their right mind would want to go to the cross? Why did you do it? Because it was your job. That is why you came. You pulled up your big boy panties and you did your job. I don't want to minimize what we feel, Lord, but we live in a society that's very much touchy-feely. We live in a society that's very obsessed with wallowing in what they feel. Sometimes we are sucked in by that. May we be like you, Lord. May we focus on doing our job, running our race, and trusting you for everything else. And you are good to us, Lord. We can trust you. You are wonderfully, amazingly, astoundingly good to us. Beyond anything we should ever even begin to expect or hope for. What do we have to complain about? You are good. Thank you for loving us. Thank you for dying for us. Thank you for adopting us. Even as you love us, Lord, we love you. In your name, amen.